If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And I want to look at the parable of the great banquet this evening. And I want to preach under the title, very simple title, Excuses, Excuses, Excuses. And we're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to all our hearts tonight. A doctor reported on one occasion that he was driving too fast, and he made the mistake of driving past a police car. Once the police car sensed this, it speeded up behind him. But thinking fast, the doctor reached into his medical bag, lifted out his stethoscope, and waved it out the window at the police car. The policeman acknowledged him and led him away with it. A few days later, that same doctor was driving down that same stretch of road, and again he passed the same police car. This time the police car came up beside him, and the policeman wound down the window, and this time he dangled a set of handcuffs. No excuses the second time. I read about a woman in New Zealand who had been driving for 25 years without a driving license. She explained to the judge who fined her, I only drive on roads that have very little traffic, and none of those roads lead to an office where I could apply for a driver's license. Some people might say that's women drivers, but I'll not comment on that tonight. Another story I heard of was of a Canadian man who was charged in the United States of America in Michigan for driving at 74 miles per hour. He explained that he thought that since the Canadian gallon was higher than the U.S. gallon, that a mile might be longer north of the border. The magistrate clarified the error and fined him in Canadian dollars. It's amazing the excuses that we can find. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Statistics tell us that 99% of all failures are people who have a habit of making excuses. And if you really want to know someone, and if you really want to know what makes someone tick, then all you have to do is listen to their excuses. And in the passage that we read together, we read about some excuses. I want you to notice 3 things tonight about this passage. Firstly, I want you to notice the invitation extended. Of all occasions in Jewish culture, feast time or banquets were probably some of the most joyful. You see, this was not a last minute invitation. What would happen would be this. An invitation would be sent out, giving the day of the banquet, but no set time would be given for the banquet. The guests would accept or reject the invitation. And then on the day of the banquet, the servants would simply go out and they would say, "Come, for all things are now ready." It's interesting to note tonight, just by the way, that Christ is here comparing salvation to a feast. So many people fall into the trap, do they not, of thinking that when you come to Christ, you lose all joy and happiness and satisfaction in your life. And sometimes as Christians, we're guilty of portraying such an image. But can I remind you tonight that when you come to Christ, you're not going to a fast. You're not going to a famine. You're not going to a funeral, but you're coming to a feast. And everything is prepared that you need on God's table of salvation. An invitation was going out to these men. An invitation to come to a great banquet. And there's an invitation going out to you tonight to God's salvation. And it's simply saying, "Come, for all things are now ready." This invitation was simple. The Lord very simply said, "Come. Come, for all things are now ready." I think this word "come" is one of those great words in the Bible. Remember away back in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, how God uttered it to Noah when he stood at the door of the ark. He said, "Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Remember how God spoke through the evangelical prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." And then centuries later, the Lord Jesus Christ fills this word with heart-moving meaning when he says to all those people burdened with sin, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a word it is. Someone has said, C is for children, O is for older people, M is for the middle-aged, and E is for everyone, because there's no one excluded from God's wonderful invitation. And God is saying to you at the outset tonight, "Come, for all things are now ready." It's simple. But then notice also that this invitation is solid. It says, "All things are now ready." God has already done everything necessary to make salvation available. And salvation is based on a solid foundation because it's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who never sinned. Jesus Christ who didn't even know what it was to think about sin. Jesus Christ who, when he was tempted, refused the temptation. Jesus Christ who could heal the sick. Jesus Christ who could read a man's mind and look right into his heart and see his motives. Jesus Christ who loved all men, who was no respecter of persons. Jesus Christ who hated hypocrisy. That's what salvation is based on. Jesus Christ who died for sinful men, who shed his own blood. Jesus Christ who suffered, taking the sins of the world upon his shoulders. Jesus Christ who literally endured hell so that we might not have to. Jesus Christ who said, "If I lay down my life, I take it up again." Jesus Christ who had the power to rise from the dead. It's a solid invitation because all things are ready. And it's based on Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on Calvary's tree. But then notice also that the invitation is serious. God says, "Come, for all things are now ready." I heard about a little boy who came forward to profess his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor asked the boy to give his testimony. The little boy said this, "I did my part and God did his part." The pastor responded skeptically, "Son, explain what you mean." He said, "Sir, I did the sinning and God did the saving. Ours was the sin. His was the blood, and he invites you to come tonight. Come, for all things are now ready. We need to be punctual about it. Don't put it off. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I wonder if you ever wondered why God puts his invitation in the terms of now. Why is it always now? Sure, yesterday is gone. Broken dreams, wasted years, you can never have yesterday again. Tomorrow might never come. Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow might come, and that's why it's so serious, because salvation needs to be done now. The invitation is extended. But then secondly, I want you to notice the invitation evaded. You see, this invitation, giving the day of the banquet, had already been sent out and accepted weeks in advance. And now it seems like these people have changed their mind, and they begin one after another to make excuses. It's worthy to note tonight that in Middle Eastern culture, to decline an invitation from a great man to such a banquet was like a slap in the face. It was a terrible insult to the one holding the feast, and it was just an insult to him. Can I ask you tonight, before we go on any further, how have you responded to God's invitation? Maybe you sit in Lisburn week after week. You hear the gospel message go out, and you hear the voice of God calling you. Can I ask you, how have you treated it? How have you responded to God's invitation? Have you treated it with contempt, disrespect? Maybe you've flung it back in the face of God with your fist clasped tight, as it were, and you say no so many times. You see, that's what these men were doing. Verse 18 says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. There was the excuse of material possessions. Verse number 18. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. This man was offered to go to a great banquet. It was probably the greatest banquet that there was in that town or city at the time. He was invited. It was free. He didn't have to pay for it. He received a personal invitation, but this man had something which he thought was more important. I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. We could say tonight that this man was materially minded. So taken up with things. So taken up with his field. So taken up with the here and now, with this world's goods, that he refuses the call of the gospel so that he continue to live for this world. Can I ask you tonight in Lisburn, is that you? So taken up with material things. Taken up maybe with your home, your car, or whatever it is, that you have absolutely no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the excuse of material possessions. But then there was the excuse of professional advancement. Verse 19. I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. This man had bought 5 yoke of oxen without even trying them out. And now he wants to go to the bank. He can't go to the banquet because he has to go and try them out. Or in other words, he's going to plough a field. This excuse is a lame one at best. It just isn't feasible. Who goes and buys oxen without trying them out? And then who, after he does that, tries them out at night time? It's just not feasible. It doesn't make sense. But I believe this man was putting his profession and his work before the banquet. And so many are just like that man in the 21st century. They allow their occupations, their businesses, the pursuit of material gain to keep them coming to God, and they use it as an excuse not to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we move on to the first one, notice tonight that these two excuses are both things that could have waited. This man was invited to a banquet. The other man was invited to the same banquet, probably never going to happen again. Something special. Something like a wedding or an anniversary or something like that. Something which couldn't be postponed. And yet they continually make excuse. They put it off. One man had to go and check his field. Could he not have done that in the morning? The other man had to go and try out his yoke of oxen. Surely he could have put that off to another day, but they didn't. They made excuses. Then there's the excuse of personal relationships. Verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. This man had just got married. He was a newlywed, and I'm sure we can understand that he wanted to spend time with his new bride. But yet if you read about weddings in Middle Eastern culture, you'll read about how they were extravagant events. You will read about how they were planned months in advance. And if you take that into consideration, this man probably knew about this banquet, and he also knew about his wedding when he received the invitation, but he still accepted it. And he still had to make an excuse. We could say tonight that this man placed his personal relationships ahead of everything else in his life. And so many people, do we have to make the application again, are like that. They put their relationships ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ, afraid of what their parents might think. Afraid of what their families might think. Afraid of maybe losing friends. And they're so absorbed in their own little world that they never get round to giving their lives to Christ. Can I ask you tonight, are you making excuses? Are you making excuses tonight? You see, an excuse is not a reason. A reason is something that holds weight. A reason is justified. A reason is a plausible thing why you haven't done something, but an excuse is not plausible. An excuse is not justified, and excuses are not excusable. They're only excuses. Perhaps you've come to gospel services for years. Went to the gospel missions, evangelistic outreach. You've maybe read books about it. Seen it on TV, you've maybe had your family, your friends witnessing to you, telling you the good news about the gospel, about how you can get saved, and yet you continually make excuses. I don't know how many excuses there are. We could go on and on forever naming the excuses. Some people say they're too young. I've got the rest of my life ahead of me. Some people say, I'm too old. It's too late at my stage. I've done too many things wrong. God couldn't take me. God couldn't save me after what I've done. People, they say, I've got my career to think about. I'm only starting out in life. Maybe when I get a right footing, when I get a good job, a good salary, a good wife, maybe then I'll get saved. Perhaps it's your family. Maybe it's your friends. Perhaps it's the time. You don't want the commitment. You don't want to have to start going to church. Listen tonight. They are all just excuses. They're not reasons. A reason is justified. A reason is plausible. But all those things are excuses. Can I ask you again tonight, are you making excuses? They're not reasons. They're only excuses. The invitation extended. The invitation evaded. But then notice thirdly tonight, the invitation expanded. You see, when this master learned that the guests that he had invited refused to come, he was insulted and angry, and he had every right to be. And I'm sure if it happened to you tonight, you would be the same. But he did not cancel the party. Instead, he decided to expand the invitation. He decided to extend it to the whoever and the whatevers of this world. Think of the people that he invited to come in. He invited the poor. These were the people who could never ever pay this man back. He invited the maimed. This refers to people who were deformed or twisted or had some type of brokenness in their body. The kind of people that society would feel uncomfortable being around. The kind of people that were considered to be the rejects of the world. And yet this man graciously reaches out to them. Can I remind you tonight in Lisburn? I'm sure you don't need reminded that God loves the spiritually maimed. And every one of us possesses a twisted nature. There's a leaning in us all towards sin. Romans 3:23, the verse that we all learn as children, reminds us about that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet this man reached out. And God is reaching out to you. It doesn't matter how far gone you think you are. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed, because God is still able to save you, and God can wash you clean. He invited the poor. He invited the maimed. He invited the halt. These were the crippled people in society, people who were unable to get around on their own. And for them to come to this supper, they would have needed help to get in. They would have needed a helping hand to get them into this supper, but he invited them nevertheless. They invited the blind. These were people who were trapped in their own little world of darkness. They did not possess the resources to get to the Lord by themselves. They need a guide. They need someone to show them the light. He brings the poor. He brings the maimed. He brings the halt. He brings the blind. He brings them all into this feast. And after the servant had found all these wrecks of humanity and brought them in, the verse reminds us that there was still room in the master's house. What did the master do? He sends out his servant into the streets, into the hedgerows, out into the highways and byways. And he asked his servant to compel everyone to come in. Out there he would find the worst of the worst. He would find those that no one else wanted anything to do with. He would find the worst of humanity, and he would say, come, the feast is ready. You don't have to do anything. You only have to come. But then he would also find amongst those homeless people, amongst the wanderers, would he not find those people on a journey? People maybe traveling from one city to another. People out in business or going about their work. And if you put it all together tonight, this servant would go out and he would compel and he would meet anyone. He would meet everyone and he would compel them to come in. He would collect the down and outs. He would collect the sinners, the social outcasts, the convicted terrorists, the cripples, the murderers, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the drug addicts, the no-hopers. He would find them all and he would compel them to come in to this great feast. And you know, tonight the gospel's for everyone. It doesn't matter tonight, if you're here tonight in Lisburn, it doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter what you've done.
Doesn't matter what social standing you place yourself in, whether you class yourself as middle class, upper class, or lower class. It doesn't matter what type of education you had. It doesn't matter what career you're in. It doesn't matter what you're doing, because the gospel is for everyone. And Jesus says to you tonight, come, for all things are now ready. Will you come tonight? Give your life to Jesus Christ. It's the best decision you could ever make. It won't bring you sadness, or it'll bring you that joy and happiness of knowing that when you die, you'll go to be with the Lord. Leonardo da Vinci was a man of incredible talent. I'm sure everyone's heard of him. He explored almost every field available to him in both science and in art. He sculpted and painted both portraits and murals. And he made plans for ingenious machines such as planes that would not be built for centuries later. Yet it is well known and well documented that Leonardo da Vinci was a terrible procrastinator. He never finished a project on time. His energy and talents were often wasted on doodles, often wasted on unfinished projects. The Last Supper was only finished after his patron threatened to cut off all funds. Mona Lisa, that great painting, took 20 years to complete. The Adoration of the Magi, an early painting of his, was never finished because Leonardo da Vinci was always putting it off. I wonder tonight, is that what you have been doing? Is that what you have been doing with God's invitation? Maybe you say, I'll get saved later. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get saved in a week's time or a month's time or a year's time. But the problem with that attitude is, I'm sure you've heard it before, that tomorrow never, ever comes. Is it not time tonight, here in Lisburn, to stop making excuses? Is it not time to stop putting it off? Stop making lame excuses. Is it not time you accepted God's offer of salvation? It's free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. On every invitation that you receive, at the bottom there are four letters, RSVP. And tonight, to the banquet, to the Christian life, to a relationship with Almighty God, there's an invitation going out, and your name is on it, and the responsibility is yours to reply as soon as possible. The banquet's not going to hold off for you. I wonder, are you going to hold off for the banquet and risk missing it altogether? What's God's word for you tonight in Lisburn? Come, for all things are now ready. May God bless his word to all our hearts, and may